Protesters gather outside the Election Commission building to protest against what they say are voting irregularities. Some people were unable to vote after at least 1,800 vote counting machines malfunctioned during national elections on Monday, less than 2% of the total number of machines.
We are here because we have seen how sloppy the Election Commission's work is. They had 3 years to prepare for this election, but they are incompetent. They took away the right of Filipinos to vote for what they want.
The protesters were soon pushed back by police, with water cannon and SWAT teams on standby.
The heavy pushback has long been a hallmark of the outgoing administration. Incumbent President Rodrigo Duterte had little tolerance for dissent or criticism.
Ferdinand Marcos Jr., whose late father ruled the country for two decades and was often described as a dictator, is on course to win a landslide victory. And with Duterte's daughter, Sara, set to become the vice president, many are concerned their civil liberties may shrink further. Analysts say the return to power of the Marcos family is the result of decades of rebranding, boosted in recent years through social media campaigns, often with misleading information.
Studies have shown that the Marcos campaign and the Marcos family has hugely invested in this machinery. And I think if they're going to be the next administration, that this is going to be a lean and mean propaganda spewing machine.
He says the strategy may not only help them win power, but keep it. For Marcos's supporters, gathered outside his campaign headquarters the day after the polls, those concerns were far from their minds as their candidate heads for victory with an unassailable margin. Florence Louis, Al Jazeera, Manila.
Well, let's speak now to Jumaila Alandogan, who's also in Manila. So, Jumaila, we've had a picture of the capital. What about the rest of the country?
Well, the Philippine military basically just requested the Commission on Elections to declare 15 villages in the Lano del Sur province in the southern region of Mindanao as areas where elections have failed. There have been sporadic violence across the Mindanao region. Some areas have known to be considered as election hotspots. There are reports also that at least six people have already been killed. There was a standoff also at the Lano capital province today where two warring political clans tried to secure the ballots that were supposed to be sent over to Manila, and that these ballots had to be secured by the military. So this gives you a picture of what is happening in Mindanao. But although there have been at least 15 recorded electoral violence, according to the Philippine military, this is still small compared to the 2019 midterm elections where they've recorded more than 50 electoral violence. Still, at least six people were killed. And so there are ongoing investigations, reports also of, you know, several officials getting involved in ballot snatching, strafing, election inspectors getting killed. But again, the Commission on Elections has basically that before they could act on investigations, these reports have to be verified. Here in the capital, Manila, protests have just ended. We've got supporters of Vice President Lenny Robredo demanding that the Commission on Election officials get out of the building to face him because they say they find so many irregularities, not just, the breakdown of more than 1,800 vote counting machines, but in the way the votes were electronically, temporarily, and initially submitted late Monday night. Now, canvassing has again been delayed by a full day, so I guess it will take a few days before an official winner will be declared for the more than 18,000 positions across the country, in particular, the most contentious, the next president of the Philippines.
Jumaila, thanks for that update. Jumaila Alandogan there. Let's take this on further. We can hear now from Marita Tsvitug, who's an editor-at-large for the media company Rappler. And she says there are fears that Marcos' presidency will erode democracy in the Philippines.
As we've seen during the election campaign, he was the least open among the candidates. He did not grant media interviews except to those he considered friendly. He undermined the mainstream and independent media by bringing along his coterie of vloggers to the campaign. He evaded tough questions. So we foresee that when he becomes president, it will be a secretive office of the president, and he will continue the disinformation that he started way back many years ago when he ran for vice president and lost. Let's remember that Duterte, the current president, paved the way for a leader who will abide by an autocrat's playbook. Duterte started when he campaigned for president, when he became president, used a lot of this information, and we saw that some of these were state-sponsored. So it's easy for the successor to continue with this erosion of democracy because Duterte has paved the way. So we see disinformation, we see a weakening of institutions, and thirdly, our standard history textbooks do not thoroughly discuss martial law and the abuses of the dictatorship. So it's very, very sad that when Marcos sits down as president on June 30, we may even lose our history. So this is a battle for our future as well as for our past.